Well, and look what's changed. Everything's going to change, but Ron and I are both a National Association directors. And before we actually had to go fun places and have fun and do our business, but also in a good place. In 2020, I didn't know what Zoom was till 2020. I didn't know it existed. I'm so Zoomed out, you know, listening to the freaking meetings and stuff. But I think what's going to happen from that too, I think we'll still have our conventions, we'll still have our meetings, but a big part of it, I think they're going to say, we're going to Zoom this one before y'all get here and shrink it down. I don't think it'll ever go back to like it was.
You know, we're kind of leaning that way. I got COVID back at the end of January, and so when you have COVID, you know, they treat you like you're a leper. Nobody wants to see you. They make you mask, stay home, do this and that. I called my doctor, and he said, let's Zoom. So we're, when you Zoom with your doctor, and he's saying, well, you know, it's really weird because, you know, you want to go to the doctor and sit across and him take your blood pressure and do the things that they do and all. So it's an adjustment. But last week I was able to go in and get physical, and so now we're back on speaking terms again, the doctor and I. We're not Zooming. And I think as time goes on, we're going to have our first NAR convention, the National Association of Realtors, in November.
Yep.
And we haven't had one probably in a year and a half now. So I think things will get back to some kind of normalcy, but I also think that it's going to be a hybrid. We're going to see, because like the convention, they have the opportunity you can go and be in person, which you and I do because we like to glad hand. We're people.
Yes.
People. But there's also going to be those educational things where people can sit at home and be on the computer and do virtual.
Yeah.
So I think it offers a little bit to everybody and what it is that they might want to do. We just like the networking to, you know, be face-to-face. And so much gets talked about in the hall. We call it hall talk.
Yeah.
In the association, some of the politics and all. So we enjoy that part.
We're San Antonio and San Angelo are a lot alike, too. The people are a lot alike. We're friendly people, friendly towns, friendly people, and we're people. Enjoy being with people, and I know all the stuff that's changed in our real estate world, and we talked about this too, is when we first got in it, there's certain things you did. Now you see realtors buying leads, and that I haven't bought a lead in my life, but that's what you see a lot of. We have Zillow and the different ones.
Well, in our market, there are so many people that are buying in, like that are wanting to invest in residential properties because they see it being so popular and such a good investment. We were talking about this last night. In our market right now, less than $300,000 house, 36% of every one of those houses that are selling right now are being sold to investors. And there's what we call iBuyers, you know, the companies like Redfin and Open Door and all. Those are iBuyers where they literally are just paying cash to the sellers of those properties, trying to make it easier for them to sell the property and not having to go through listing it and the other things. But, you know, if I'm a seller, I'm not going to do that because it's going to get heavily discounted.
Yes.
And in today's market, where a property is going to sell overnight, and you're not really going to be hassled too much. I don't get that part. But what we get a lot of is somewhere or another, these investors are being sold leads to people that own, let's say, rent houses.
Yes.
So now you're inundated with text, phone calls from whatever program or lead company that they have bought from that's giving them that information, and you just get inundated with all that. So we were talking last night, when I get one of those now, I text them back and I said, well, you might want to change lead companies because you're the 10th text I've had on this property today. And that kind of stops it or slows it down.
That's smart. But I'll tell you one thing that it totally changed. And this is when I was young and dumber. And I don't say dumber. I did a promo. I said, if I can't sell your house, I'll buy it. And I had a lot of people take me up on, you know, say, we want you. But when you went in, you said, okay, here's what I can pay you for it. Then they got mad. I said, you know what? This isn't a good deal because all I'm doing is pissing people off because you can't pay retail. If somebody says, I'm going to buy your house, they're not going to, because they're going to either keep it or flip it. They're going to make money on it. I mean, they're investors. That's what they do. I mean, nobody does it for full price, and that's not how it works. So just remember that what Ron's saying is, if somebody says, I'm going to buy your house for cash, they're not going to pay you what it's worth. They can't.
there are some companies that have come in our market out of California, New York, big companies that are wanting to buy up all of the. They see San Antonio as being a market where real estate's going to do nothing but go up, particularly those under 300,000. So we even see new home construction now, if it's under 300,000, where these companies will come in. And let's say it's a subdivision that's going to be 150 houses. They'll literally buy 20% of the houses in that subdivision and pay cash for them and make the deal with the builder. I'm sure it's discounted. And then they will rent those properties out. I mean, that's just what they see in these hot markets as a potential down the road. And in most of those cases, they're public companies that have stockholders. So, you know, they're putting all these houses into a pool, you know, an REIT. And they're saying, look, if you want to buy stock into this company and you want to put in $25,000, here's what's going to happen on these properties. You're going to get the rent income from it, proportionate to the stock that you've got, and you're going to get inflation that's going to up the price of these houses, and at some point we'll probably sell them, and then you're going to have a big return on the stock price that you put in. And it's a pretty good sale.
But see if this happens in San Antonio, but what's happened in San Angelo, or what's happened, it's already almost over, is we had a lot that somebody would actually donate to a church just to get rid of it because they couldn't get rid of it, or we'd sell for $4,000 or $5,000. That same lot in, you know, wherever, whatever neighborhood it is, selling for $15,000, $16,000, $20,000 because the builders are buying those lots up and building a brand new house there because they can build it to keep it under the 200 factor or the 300 factor, and they're selling like hotcakes.
A lot of that is going on. There is a crisis across the country for affordable housing.
100%.
Everybody is trying to figure out how do we do affordable housing. And unfortunately, in our market, the affordable housing is they set up a housing trust fund that's basically insured by the city. So it's politics. And then, as you may recall, when Trump came up with his tax plan, they created these opportunity zones. Opportunity zones means that there are areas in each city or across the state, across the country, that if you develop in those areas, you get tax credits.
Yes.
Tax credits are really big for people that make a lot of money and pay a lot of tax because it's not a tax deduction. It's a dollar for dollar. So if I owe $20,000 in income tax and I go into an opportunity zone and develop some affordable housing, I'm going to get tax credits for doing that, and it's dollar for dollar. So if I own $20,000 in tax and I get $20,000 in tax credit, I pay no tax. And I know that's kind of a big issue now with people making under the $400,000 with the Biden tax plan, but it's the way it works. So now if I go through the housing trust fund that's created in my city of San Antonio, dollars, city tax dollars are in it so that they can give affordable loans to the people that would develop in those areas. They go in and put in an apartment complex that's, let's say, 150 units. They take the tax credits to all the people that invest, but then they take it off the tax rolls. So the city, county, school take it off of the tax roll. So now they're getting tax credits. They're getting a really affordable loan because it's being guaranteed by the trust fund, the housing trust fund in San Antonio. And now they pay no taxes. I'm not against the affordable housing. What I'm against is when it comes off the tax rolls, then the people that own real estate
pay more tax.
Are paying more tax. And so if they're going to do it, they ought to have it so that everybody is paying tax and the whole city, county are paying a proportionate share so that there's affordable housing. But it shouldn't be financed by the people that already own the real estate, because that's technically around, you know, 55% of the people that are out there that actually own real estate that are then picking up the affordability portion of it. That, to me, is not right.
Folks, there it is from the man himself. We appreciate y'all listening in. And remember, you can go to sallison.com and listen to Overallers again. Have a great day.